I want to welcome you back to Yachts, the Perfect Escape Vehicle. Today we're talking to Stephen and Estelle Cocroft, and we were talking about ways to get experience to go cruising. Did you run into any really inexperienced cruisers, and how did they happily and safely cope with that?
We ran into a lot of inexperienced cruisers. The Bahamas is a good starting ground for a lot of cruisers. You never have to sail overnight. You can day sail the whole way. In fact, when we were down in Trinidad, we met a couple on a boat that had never overnight sailed, and they were in Trinidad, which I found completely unbelievable. But they explained to me that they would just plan day hops. So there are a lot of people out there that aren't the intrepid sailors that you would expect. They're just people that love the lifestyle and love living aboard and do a very, very benign form of cruising. So we met a lot of people that really wouldn't venture over to cross big waters.
And then, of course, if you really want to see some of our plonkers, we call them, they go to our website and go to our plonker club and see how these people cope and what they do and why they do it.
The website is?
Oh, our website is www.catamaranguru.com.
Now, we've been talking about sailing yachts, mainly because they make economical cruisers, but you could do it on a motor yacht as well, right? It's just it costs a lot more for fuel.
Yeah, you get a fuel bill, you don't get a wind bill. So, you know, I feel that a sailboat is safer. I like a catamaran for stability. It has two engines, plus it has a mast and sails. If you lose your engines for whatever reason, bad fuel, whatever reason, you've got sails. So you have a secondary form of propulsion. So I really feel the catamaran is the perfect crossover vessel.
Did you ever lose your engine for a long period of time?
Oh, yeah. We've lost our engine quite a number of times. Estelle actually had to sail me into an anchorage one day in the Mediterranean under sail and drop the anchor so we could attend to our engine. I've lost the engine a few times on the catamaran, but again, if you lose an engine, well, you got another one.
But what if you have no experience? You could actually operate your sailing yacht like a motor yacht. You just don't go very fast, right?
Yeah, you would learn to sail. I mean, everybody puts the sails up and eventually you figure it out. That's why it's really good to go and do a sailing course, an ASA sailing course, so you understand the fundamentals of sailing. You don't have to be a America's Cup quality sailor. If you understand the fundamentals, you're just fine. It's really not rocket science to learn to sail.
Now, I heard about some people that will buy a charter yacht and they put it in charter and they get to use other boats around the world that are similar and they get to go to like 30 different places. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I'm actually associated with a privately owned charter company. It's called Dream Yacht Charters. It has bases in 32 places around the world. Reason I know them as well is because they're in Madagascar and Seychelles, Mauritius. We've been to all these places, so we've seen them around the world. And they have programs where you can actually buy a boat, put it in their program, and you end up paying about 50% of the boat off by letting other people charter your boat and pay for the use of it. So, but part of their program is that they will guarantee you an annual income on the boat, which covers your mortgage, and they allowed up to 12 weeks of owner exchange. So you could buy a boat and put it into the British Virgin Islands, and you could sail for the next 5 years and never ever actually even get on your boat. You could sail in Tahiti, Madagascar, Seychelles, as if you're sailing on your own boat. So you can sail around the world in your part-time or over your vacation by placing a boat into this guaranteed program, which a lot of people do.
So it's kind of like practice cruising. You get to go on your vacation time to use a boat in different parts of the world, and you can literally sail around the world in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary, this is a wonderful way to own your boat or get your boat. If you don't have 100,000 or 500,000 or whatever the boat is, would cost you to put down for a new boat, this is really a great way to do it.
Now, not everybody has $500,000 to buy a boat with. Are there ways to offset the costs of buying a boat? And or maybe you can talk a little bit about financing. I mean, I've heard about these programs like where you can buy a boat for half off or something. You get the charter company to pay for half the boat or something like that.
Oh, yeah. There are some programs. Dream Yacht, I believe, have one as well, where you pay for half the boat, and after 5 years, they would have paid for the other half of the boat, and you'll end up with a boat for $1. So you can get the boat at half price, after 5 years. It's a very good way to get the boat, a bigger, better boat than you could afford if you just had to pay cash and not take advantage of these charter opportunities.
Now, when they're paying for half the boat, what else do you get in these programs? I mean, do you get guaranteed income in addition, and do they pay for all the expenses? How does that work?
Depends on the program. It's quite a broad subject, Gary. Performance programs where you participate in the income. You have guaranteed programs where they'll give you a guaranteed income. And I believe in the case of the 50-50, you would pay your 50%. You wouldn't get any income, but you'd have no out-of-pocket expenses. The charter company would carry all expenses for the 5 years and at the end of the term give you the boat.
Wow, it sounds like a viable program to think about. And where can they find out more about that?
Well, they can go to our website, catamaranguru.com or dreamyachtcharters.com, where most of this information is available.
Okay, well, that all sounds good. Let me ask you something. What do you think the critical equipment is to have on a boat, and is there equipment that you think you need that you really never use?
Number one is my stove. I want a 3-burner stove. That's just the way it is in my galley. I have to have a good...
Wait, why 3 burners?
Well, it just... you juggle cooking, and the 3-burner in my experience has just been the way to do it. My oven has to be a great oven because I love baking, and I'm sort of a connoisseur on bread baking. So I used to do classes in the Anchorages where women would come over, and I would teach them how to bake bread. The next thing would be my fridge and freezer. Cannot live without that. A good fridge. Freezers, not all boats have freezers, but if you can afford one and if you have space for one, definitely the way to go. As far as shade, you live in the Caribbean or you live in the Mediterranean, you get burnt up, and the only way to get away from it is good shade cloths.
Well, from the guy who hangs out outside again... probably the most important thing one of the most important pieces of equipment, in my opinion, is the anchor. In order not to blow your budget sitting in marinas, paying expensive marina fees, you need a good anchor. So that's the one thing that I would really pay attention to. It's a subject that would take about 5 of these programs to discuss. The other thing that I really, I didn't start out with one, but what I really think is important today is a water maker, which gives you independence from having to go ashore with jerry cans and full jerry cans to top up your tanks. The other critical issue, of course, is power. If you have a generator, that's great, but it uses fuel, which costs money. So, and also, obviously, a generator requires maintenance. On our last 2 boats, we've had good solar arrays and we've had good wind generators, which essentially give you free power so you don't have to be running a generator all the time. A good set of sails is always good, because if you are going to sail, at least you want to sail and go in the right direction.
And what about our dinghy, Stephen? That's our like our car, you know. So you want a really good dinghy and outboard motor. We have seen some horror stories in anchorages where people, you know, the engine breaks down and they drift out to sea and we would have to rescue them. So that's one thing that you want to spend money on.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Estelle. Dinghy, we started off, well, I don't even want to talk about our first dinghy. We had a Seagull motor, and of course the only thing that the only moving part of a Seagull motor is the owner. but a dinghy is critical, and good davits are critical to lift your dinghy every night so it doesn't disappear.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. I want to thank you all for being here. We're going to continue this discussion next week. We're live at 3 p.m. on Thursdays, Eastern U.S. time. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us. You can catch reruns of this show at various times. Just go to the overseasradio.com website and look at the schedule. You'll see us on there. So this has been Gary Fretz, Stephen Cocroft, Estelle Cocroft on Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle, only on the Overseas Radio Network.